knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
Been waiting for you.
It's 8 p.m., kiddies, and you know what that means.
I think I'm just too white and nerdy. I think I'm just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy?
This summer, action is a $20 lap dance. Did you really think you could win?
I just want to dance.
So dance. The Moneymaker.
You shall not pass without a major credit card.
Fantasy Hotline.
I'm telling you, Doctor Who's on Earth.
What are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, Doctor Who's on Earth.
Doctor Who?
Yes.
Doctor Who's on Earth?
Yes, he is.
Doctor Who?
Certainly.
Come try the best at superpowerdating.com, the premier dating site for people with superpowers.
Due to explicit content, listener discretion is advised.
On with the show!
Hello and welcome to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. I am the Jack of All Nerds, Michael Maxwell. Joining me, as always, Mr. Derek Murray.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Hello, Sue.
Hello, Sue.
And in the booth, Danny Anthony.
Hi.
Hey.
How's it going?
You know, it's going. It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
Great.
It's Oscar night.
Yeah.
We're not watching it. Not tonight, anyway.
Bummer.
Yeah. And we have some special guests in the studio tonight. Two ladies from the, and I'm going to see if I can get this right on the first try this time.
Mm-hmm.
The Los Angeles Women's Comic Creators League. You just got to slow it down.
Yeah.
You just got to slow it down.
You just
pacing.
You can't micro machine it. You got to pace yourself, Mike.
Someday I will. ladies, please introduce yourselves or introduce each other, however you prefer.
Well, I'm sitting next to the delightful Joey Brown, pun machine and fantastic colorist.
I'm sitting next to the amazing Christine Hipp, who does pretty much everything, and she does it all really well.
Thank you.
I have to say, pun machine might be the greatest title in any name.
It's accurate.
I'm a new hashtag. Honored that you called me the pun machine. Like, yeah. I'm going to put that on my tombstone. I am very excited.
You absolutely should.
I'm going to hold on to that for the rest of my days.
It's already trending.
Hashtag pun machine.
And second time on the show. So
I know. I feel like I haven't seen you guys in a whole year.
I know.
Pretty much.
So weird.
We're glad to have you back, here to talk about your guys' upcoming new anthology or...
Manthology.
The pun machine strikes again.
I did not name this, though.
This one's actually my doing. I wish you could see this when you're listening at home, because it's the Manthology, and you've got like a very beautiful, sexy man on the cover, and every story has a man in it. But plot twist, pretty much every story is written by a woman and drawn by a woman. Out of 27 contributors, we only have 6 dudes.
Nice.
And so every story is supposed to subvert the sexist trope. And so some of them are stuff like Joey's, which is proving that masculinity and magical ponies aren't mutually exclusive. And some of them are like, hey, what if you didn't always kill off your girlfriend? Because it's really dumb if you just kill off the girlfriend instead of giving them a real reason to fight. So there's like a lot of
solid
variety to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's all, every single story is funny. There's a pinup section if you don't want to read.
Eye candy.
And really, even just like...
Trump, that's for you.
I feel like Donald Trump would love this book. It's the best book. It has the best words and panels.
Oh, we should put a copy of the Constitution in there so he can be familiar with it.
Let's try to summarize the Constitution in about 7 words and maybe include a graph.
Yeah, no, that's good.
That's a good idea.
I'm convinced he only knows 40.
You would have to condense it to the amount of a tweet and maybe use some emojis, and I think maybe he'd get it.
No freedom of the press. Sad face.
Terrible.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on, but before we do that, we got to talk about the people that allow us to be here in the studio, the sponsors, everybody. First up, the Etowanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse!
By the way, I have to go away from that for a second, because I saw a new Little Sweet commercial with the Cowboys.
Did you really?
And have you seen it?
I have not.
Oh, my goodness. It is, it's magic.
Wow.
You really need to look, you can probably find it on YouTube. Just look up Dr. Pepper Little Sweet Cowboys and you'll wonder if they took that out of Brokeback Mountain or not. Like it's weird. It's a weird commercial for Dr. Pepper, but.
All right. I'm gonna save Little Sweet until after I've seen this commercial.
Okay.
So that I can give it its due.
I think
justice.
It's gonna give you some new moves.
I'm excited.
With Little Sweet.
Oh, I'm super excited.
It's gonna extend your range.
I think it's
in sweet. In my voice. Anyway. God. The Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Conveniently located off the 210 freeway at the Day Creek exit in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Has nightly food specials, drink specials, live entertainment, pub trivia, karaoke, live bands, all that kind of good stuff. For more information, visit facebook.com/eRoadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Gorgeous. Also check out The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery dinner show. Enjoy a fabulous four-course meal while solving a hilarious murder investigation. For more information, visit thedinnerdetective.com. And if you're purchasing tickets for the Claremont, California location, use the promo code CRIME to get a $5 discount. And that sponsors everybody. All done. So look, I hate to start the show on a bummer. But there was some news that was announced today, and I just want to get it out of the way. So Bill Paxton passed away, mm-hmm. and I just have to say, like, I'm upset because I'm a big fan. I really enjoyed his work in Independence Day and Spaceballs.
I hate you so much.
Is that different guy?
Goddamn troll. How dare you?
How dare you?
Wrong Bill. Sorry. So I really enjoyed his stuff in Ghostbusters.
Stop it.
Caddyshack.
Stop it.
No? Still wrong guy?
How dare you dishonor a great, great actor?
I'm just making jokes so we can heal.
I know. It's true. I understand.
I mean, game over, man.
There it is.
Game over.
This is actually one of those celebrity deaths where I wasn't like, yeah, it's a bummer, but I was more just like, I really, really, really enjoy Bill Paxton's work. Like, he's one of those guys where, even if the movie is absolute shit, if his name is on it, I'm just like, yeah, okay, I'll watch it. Like, he's a scene stealer in everything he does. He chews up every single line. I think I quote him at least once a day. I think I tell someone game over, man, at least once. So it's just a bummer we won't get to see any more work from him.
I think I have a fucked up superpower and I don't like it because, what is it? Fuller House.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Fuller House, and I didn't watch it like right when it came out. And Alan Thicke had a guest spot, and like I was like, "Oh, Alan Thicke! I haven't seen that guy in forever." And the next fucking day, he died. Okay, I shit you not. I haven't seen Bill Paxton in anything. On Friday, I caught like 5 minutes of him on Training Day on television. He fucking died today. And then I started watching Dick Van Dyke. Fucking Mary Tyler Moore died. I'm killing people by watching their old shit.
You're basically
please stop. Not,
yeah, you're,
stop watching TV.
I can't.
You watch really old episodes of The Apprentice.
I was just gonna say that. Could you please start watching The Apprentice, please? Maybe you'll kill Vanilla Ice too.
I think it only works on real celebrities.
No, like, fuck you. Be the hero we deserve.
But be the maybe one not the we one we want.
Right, no. Be the one we need right now.
By the way, you're never watching my home movies.
Oh, yeah, it's no good. I do enjoy him, and it is sad though because based on last week's show, we were talking about movies that should not be made into TV shows, and then seeing him in Training Day and thinking that when I heard that he died, the first thought that popped into my head was, well, I bet the studio's pissed because they're not going to have a season two. And that's a horrible way to think.
Yeah, it really is.
But that's where my brain went. So
solid.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
So let's move on and try to make things funny.
Yeah.
That was current events. Is there anything lighthearted in the current events aside from it's Oscar night? And that's a thing.
I mean,
no.
Did we cover the NASA thing last week?
What was the NASA thing?
The new planets.
The new planets.
The habitable planets.
Yeah.
Oh, habitable planets?
We can go to now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We can't go to them. It's not like it's a stroll down the street.
Don't ruin my dream.
What, 40 million light years away or something?
40,
like that?
Just 40
yeah, that's
light
just
years.
Next, that's next door.
Yeah, that's right. Look, just if fall asleep and wake up on another planet.
If NASA could just perfect a matter-antimatter engine, we'd be fine.
Yeah, no big deal.
I'm just waiting for NASA to come in. Good news, everyone!
I don't know what the big deal is. You just take some matter and some antimatter and you put them together. Warp travel.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Yeah, that's
right?
How that works, yeah.
It's not like it's rocket science or anything.
No big explosions you have to worry about containing or anything. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Just make it happen. Anyway. God. I do know that we were supposed to mention real briefly, and we didn't. Legion.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't talk about that at all.
Yeah, I'm an episode behind.
Yeah, I only watched the first one.
Oh.
So, just enough to be like, yeah, I saw it.
Oh, was there more?
Is that something you did?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it.
And first impressions?
It's a weird fucking show.
Okay, yeah.
But, I mean, it's one of those, I've seen on Facebook, a lot of people have been like, oh, it's so confusing. I can't watch it. And it's like, well, if you know anything about the character from the comic books, he's crazy. So it makes sense that they're doing the show the way they're doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have any issues with the way the show is done. It is one of those, if you don't know what the mythology is, like, if you don't know the comics, you would probably be like, what the hell is happening?
Okay, so yeah, I should visit Wikipedia before watching it.
Probably.
You know what, though? I didn't, and I was actually still thoroughly impressed, and I still very much enjoyed the show.
If you enjoy, like, FX shows.
And I do.
I mean, FX is, it's very rare that they have a miss.
There, and I will tell you, this has all, like, there is no doubt that this is an FX show. Like, none whatsoever. If you've seen anything by FX, it's very clear as to why this show is made by them. But yeah, I didn't know anything about Legion, and I still very much enjoyed it. My girlfriend's the same way. Like, she just really enjoyed the show, and she doesn't tend to like things that are really confusing. But we managed to.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Really terrible.
No, I love her to death.
She's real simple.
When it comes to viewing pleasures, yes, it is, she's a very streamlined, like, just blow shit up. I don't need a point. I just make stuff happen. So the fact that she was like intrigued in a show that like we neither one of us fully understood, it's a big step in our relationship, I feel.
God.
Wow. Wow. Have either of you seen Legion?
No. I've never heard of it until a few minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
From what I heard, I don't know if I check it out. I might check it out. Just so I could, like, rant about it, maybe? If it's, like, confusing, I might, like, want to see if I can, like, figure it out and prove that I'm smarter than everyone else.
What I did.
Yeah. That's like, my favorite thing to do with TV. Yeah.
I mean, it is beautifully shot.
Yes.
I don't think anybody could argue that. It really is. It's like a artsy. It's very artsy.
Yeah.
So it's good eye candy, even if your brain goes, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bad for me, though, because usually when I watch TV, I like don't look at it at all, and I just draw the entire time.
Yeah.
So I'll miss really important visual cues, which is why I sometimes actually like it when the dialogue's really bad and they state everything that's going on. Because I'm like, yeah, you are picking up that knife. I don't know what you're saying, but good, cool.
90s shows are great for that.
It might be good for working, though, because it had some really good music.
Ooh.
Yeah, it did.
A lot of the sequences.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's,
I think that's it.
I think, so you're gonna continue on.
I'm gonna continue.
You're sticking with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna continue.
I'm on Superhero Show Burnout, so.
Yeah, see, I am not on any of that, so this is refreshing to me.
I will say this, my girlfriend did talk me into watching Powerless. And, cause I did not know the full scope of what Powerless is. It actually is set in the DC universe, and I did not know that.
Yeah.
And while I don't think it's, the greatest show ever. I do think Alan Tudyk is hilarious in it, and he is enough to keep me going.
All right.
So, plus it's also it's a sitcom, so it's easier to get through sometimes.
Yeah.
I think that's my problem now, where I'm just, because I'm on Burnout, I'm like, any of the CW shows, I'm just like, oh, it's like an hour, why? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I like watching cartoons. They're about 22 minutes long. I can handle that. I actually just started watching Steven Universe, finally.
Yeah.
That show was made for me. I just have been screaming at my TV the whole time in joy. How did it take me this long to watch this show? Fantastic. Colors.
And those are like 11, 12 minutes long.
Yeah. Even better for the old, attention span. So I can commit to like 11 minutes. You got like 42? No, that's too long.
It's too much.
Wait, what next? You gonna make a movie or something like that? Like,
2 hours? That's forever.
Yeah. I think movies are getting longer.
Yeah.
I feel like they are. Yeah.
Like 3 hours long? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, Moana was like one of the first animated first Disney animated one that was like a full 2 hours long.
Was it really?
Yeah, and I remember watching it going, wow, this movie is going on forever.
Because The Rock doesn't do hour and 45 minute movies.
That's true. He's like, nope, nope.
It's got to be at least 2 hours.
I have a bar. We have to jump over that bar. Set. Here it is.
I mean, some films do a good job of masking it. Like, where you're having a good time and you don't realize that you've been there for 2.5 hours. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Like King Kong. Yeah.
I feel
what?
Like after a certain point, they're going to have to go back to what they did in like the theater days, where they have a built-in break halfway yeah. through, where you get up and like go to the bathroom, get some refreshments.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yep. And have ourselves some snacks.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I think the last movie that I saw that did that was Gods and Generals. You guys remember that?
No.
Civil War
yeah.
movie?
Yeah.
It was just unbearably long.
Yeah.
4 hours and like...
That is too long.
Well,
no.
So was
15
no.
minutes.
No.
Was it Grindhouse?
Huh? Yeah, but that was two movies. Yeah.
Right, but it was together.
Yeah, that's
like, there
true.
Was no... There was a fake intermission.
Yeah, that's
with
true.
Fake trailers. It was yeah. no break.
Of which they made real movies.
I watched that one at home because then I could use the pause button to go, okay, yeah. time for a snack yeah. in the bathroom. Yeah.
And the problem with that is that the movie that was exciting and felt short was the first one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Death Proof felt like it was longer than both movies combined.
Yes,
yeah.
It did.
Yep. I honestly don't remember anything from Death Proof.
Really?
Yeah. It was so boring. And so I just, like, Planet Terror, that's everything I want in a Grindhouse movie. Like, over the top, ridiculous, silly. Like, that is a perfect Grindhouse movie. And then Quentin Tarantino was like, yeah, but my dialogue dies. And I'm like, no, Quentin, no. I don't care how cool it is that a chick is strapped to the hood of a car. I don't care how real that might be. No.
And it wasn't even, like, dialogue.
It wasn't even good
like,
Quentin Tarantino
I'm
dialogue.
I'm gonna show you how artistic I can be.
The.
Yeah.
Like, that's what made The Hateful Eight an hour too long.
Yeah.
Cause that was a great movie, but it was one of those two where Quentin Tarantino was trying to be like, look guys, I'm artistic.
Yeah.
Watch that. They're in actual fucking snow.
So if you get it, you filmed in the Budweiser Mountains.
Yeah. So. Well, let's move on to Blast from the Past.
Yay!
Shall we?
Yeah.
Now ladies, I told you about it and, you guys agreed to partake and I'm very excited about this. So why don't we go ahead and start? With you guys, actually, maybe we should give them an example of what we do.
Yeah, that would be good.
I'll start.
We can just talk
to you. Because I'm actually excited about mine.
Well, what we do is we like to spend at least an hour per movie.
So if we have time, we'll get to you guys.
You go ahead and start.
So I did a classic film from my childhood that I remember. I know. It's so dumb.
It is.
I chose The Cutting Edge. If you guys have never seen...
Which is from 1992, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, 92. And when I was a kid, the only thing I ever remembered from this movie was the classic line, toe pick. Because the idea of the movie is, the plot of the movie is, what's her name? Moira Kelly, plays a spoiled figure skater, who just misses her chance at gold. And then, you know, she's trying to get a new partner, but literally no figure skater wants to work with
her
at all.
Explain why.
Oh, he drops her.
Because she's a cunt.
That's true.
I was
trying to be nice, but yeah.
No, it's yeah. absolutely the truth.
Yeah, she's a complete spoiled brat. Like, yes. She's unbearable.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, this hockey player, played by D.B. Sweeney, he gets a head injury and he's forced to retire. So her manager is like, oh, look, he doesn't know that she's an unbearable human being. We should pair them together. And then they fight, and then they become figure skaters, and then they fall in love. Super simple story.
They become figure... The way you said yeah. that, like they're superheroes.
Yeah,
Wonder
pretty
Twins
much.
Activate.
Pretty much. That's pretty much how it feels. But this movie was... I only remembered Topic, and then rewatching it again, I felt the same way you felt when you watched Mannequin. It's just a really fun movie. It's done very well. Both D.B. Sweeney and Moira Kelly are great together. They have great chemistry. When they're at odds with each other, they're super fun. When they fall in love, it's believable. It's just a very, very fun movie. And fun fact, I had no idea, but it was written by Tony Gilroy, who, let me just go through his filmography real quick of films he wrote. So his first film was The Cutting Edge, right? Then he moves on to The Devil's Advocate, Armageddon, Bait, Proof of Life, The Bourne Identity, The Bourne Supremacy, The Bourne Ultimatum, Michael Clayton, Duplicity, State of Play, The Bourne Legacy, Nightcrawler, Rogue One, And then here's the worst thing he's ever contributed. The Great Wall.
You can't even say it. You haven't even seen it.
Don't care. Don't care.
Like the screenplay may be brilliant, and it's just marred by the fact.
Yeah, he didn't have control over casting.
Yeah.
Don't care. Nope.
Like he specifically wrote in the ponytail.
Yeah, for sure. White guy saves China. Yeah. Pretty sure that's in the original screenplay. But no, I just think it's really funny that he like wrote this cheesy kind of, you know, love story, romantic comedy, and then was like, every film after this, somebody's kicking ass. And that's it. That's all he wrote from that point on.
Well, I mean, when you really look at the heart of it, Rogue One and The Cutting Edge is basically the same movie.
No, that's actually true.
I mean, I guess if you place The Cutting Edge in a galaxy far, far away,
just,
I don't know.
Just replace ice skating with Rebellion, and it's the same movie. It is the same movie.
Is figure skating built on hope too? Or?
Yeah,
yeah,
it is, absolutely. Right.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that.
Actually, if you want to watch a really good parody of The Cutting Edge, just watch Blades of Glory, because they're literally the same movie.
Nope. Never,
yep.
Never.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's 100%. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It's entertaining. Yeah.
But no, I honestly had a great time. The Cutting Edge is super funny. If you like good, you know, early 90s romantic comedies, it's one that stands the test of time. And I'm going to give it a blast.
Giving it a blast.
Yep.
All right. And, where did you, is this was your personal collection? Is it on Netflix?
No, you can find it on Netflix, actually.
On Netflix.
Yep.
Perfect. So if you wish to check it out, go to Netflix.
Yeah.
All right. So would you like to go now?
Sure, but I have a question.
Would you like to know
so
more?
So the negative rating is aghast. It's a blast from the past if it's good, aghast from the past.
Okay, I'm bad. I gotcha. Okay.
So clever.
So for ours, we decided to revisit the, was it 1989 film?
89, yes.
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh, so good.
Oh, it was... It is not for children, I feel like, by today's standards.
No.
Absolutely. Children should not watch that. And I loved when it came out, you know, I won't say how old it was, but it came out, and I loved it, obviously. And, like, I think the local Wendy's was selling, you know, you get your toy was, like, the Charlie B. Barkin figure you could get with your Wendy Happy Meal, whatever mm-hmm. it was and stuff. And I remember as a kid being like, this movie scares me, and I loved it for that reason. Now I feel like kids these days could not handle it. It's we're talking about, like, major themes. If you've never seen it, for like the four people out here who have never seen it ever, it's like
yeah, that's not fair because I ended up watching the movie this morning because
I thought you'd seen it before.
I'd seen it before when I was four, so I didn't remember it very well.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, and so I feel like the recap I would give people is it's a world where dogs are basically people and they're garbage,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
it focuses on one particularly garbage
yep.
dog
yep.
that's just like it's. I wish there. I guess he's in a gang or like in like the underground running like a gambling ring and like has a business partner that he's screwing over. And then the movie starts with his business partner literally offing him and then he dies mm-hmm. and then he goes to heaven. And then someone's like, hey, Charlie B. Barkin, you're perfect just the way you are, which is why you're in heaven. Everyone knows dogs get a free pass because they're really, really naturally good and innocent. I don't know where that came from. Based on the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, because literally none of the dogs I saw were good people.
And then,
yeah,
and
no,
like,
they're all awful.
And based on the lore of the movie, right, humans don't get the free pass. But if you look around, the humans are, like, pretty nice, right?
All the humans in the movie
are good.
You've
got this really sweet orphan who just wants parents who will love her. And then she runs into two randos on the street and is like, I want them to be my parents. And sure enough, we get a scene of them making her, like, waffles with butter and syrup because they're just naturally nurturing people who are totally cool with a child running into their life.
Just like life.
Yeah.
So Charlie B. Barkin goes to heaven, hates it because it's so boring, and like steals the watch that determines how long he's going to live, rewinds it so he can come back to life, even though that means he won't automatically get into heaven anymore.
Next time he's going to hell.
And
she
so now,
said so. The whippet said so.
Yeah, the whippet said so. The pink whippet said so.
Who can dance really well?
She does. Yeah.
The recap of this movie by you is amazing.
Yeah, it's astounding. I'm captivated just listening to it.
Yeah. Right
I don't know if we're going to have time to talk about our opinions on it, but we're 10 minutes in right
even,
now.
Even if I didn't have an opinion about this movie, I want to go home and watch All Dogs Go to Heaven now.
I mean, it's gambling and death and murder yeah. and heaven yeah. and hell. Yeah. That's some heavy concepts.
And dogs.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah. clearly the first time I watched it as an adult because I bought it for like $5 at Target or something like that. And I was like, oh yeah. And I watched it, and the first time as an adult, I was like, who the fuck let me watch this as a child? Like,
right?
Why would you let me watch this movie? This is not for children.
A lot of Don Bluth films are that way.
Yes. Yeah,
I was
oh, yeah,
just
absolutely.
Telling Christine there was this great article that came out last week called The Melancholy of Don Bluth, talking about his particular movie selection that he did after he split off from Disney, and how all of them are okay to sit with sadness and dealing with, like, mm-hmm. the death of Littlefoot's mother from All yeah. of Them Before Time. And, like,
I was a blubbering baby when that
like,
happened.
Oh, and, like, Fievel yeah. losing his family. And,
oh, my God.
Like, he doesn't mess around with it. And he even said, you know, you can't appreciate the happy endings unless your character, like, truly went through hell. And in sure. this case, the dog literally goes to hell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know. Do we want to spoil the ending in case someone hasn't?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, I feel like the joy was the journey, not the destination for
that's,
this.
That's true, yes.
So we had Charlie B. Barkin, who, like, drinks and gambles, and then he ends up in charge, like, he comes back to the real world, and he steals an orphan child human from his business partner who has a magical ability, because while dogs can talk to each other, they can't talk to other animals, but small children can talk to whatever they want.
Yes.
So the orphan child makes will sense. Talk to rats to figure out which rats are going to win in races, and then his old business partner would place bets on the rat and make money, and then not let the orphan go outside today because it's just he doesn't want to risk losing her. And so this child who just wants parents is passed from dog to dog,
and they're all exploiting her.
I mean, it's smart business sense from the dog's perspective.
Absolutely, yeah. he's a solid businessman, yeah. if
but
not a terrible creature.
But it's basically child trafficking.
Yes, she is a slave.
Yeah, no, she absolutely is.
Yep, and that's probably what the entire movie is meant to be an allegory for. Yeah. If I had to guess, based on what I know about Don Bluth and his
child
animation.
Slavery.
It's there. The cues are there.
No, oh no, the cues are totally there. I again, when I watched it as an adult, I was like, she is a slave. Like, mm-hmm. this is not okay.
And even after they buy her new dresses, she persists in wearing her nasty, like, orphan dress that's full of holes. And I'm like, they seriously bought you, like, 45 outfits, and you're going to keep wearing the tights with the holes in them. No wonder she catches pneumonia.
Yep. And then, like, with her animation, they went out of their way to make her look as adorable and innocent as possible. She always has rosy cheeks and just...
I tell you what, though, if Liam Neeson was voicing one of those foster parents... Shit would have gone down much differently.
That is
oh, that's
true.
Charlie was like played by Burt Reynolds.
Yes, Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. God,
and Dom
right.
DeLuise was Itchy.
Yeah.
So really, like, sad side note. Like, did you know about this movie? The voice actor of Anne Marie, the little girl, was actually murdered by her own father.
No.
Before
shit.
They finished the movie.
Oh.
Yeah. You can look it up. It's wow. on Wikipedia
and
stuff.
Was she also the voice actress for one of the characters in Land Before Time?
She was Ducky from
oh, okay.
Land Before Time.
Yeah,
yeah, and that one came right. first. And then this one, I'm pretty sure Land Before Time was like 87 or whatever. It came before.
I think, yeah, Land Before Time
but
was
so
before.
They ended up, I think she was murdered before they had finished the film, and they were able to kind of change dialogue enough to make it work, essentially. But it was...
Wow.
He basically, I guess, was jealous of her career, is the speculation. So... It's pretty
Holy
intense.
Shit, that's
yep.
so crazy.
I know, adds a whole other level of awful to
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, jeez. And I know you were worried about spoiling the ending, but mm-hmm. before that even happens, the real spoiler for the ending is that there was a sequel.
Yes, there was. It was awful.
Yeah. No, I think that's the one I remembered more clearly yeah. and remembered liking more.
Not a Don Bluth film.
No. Mm.
And
music
the voice,
was terrible.
It was terrible in the first one.
Charlie Barkin yeah. was replaced. Is from Burt Reynolds to Charlie Sheen.
Oh, that's an improvement. Question yeah. mark.
although Dom DeLuise stuck around because, you know.
Yeah.
Dom
Why not?
DeLuise.
Why,
yeah.
Why not? I mean, if we're going to talk unnecessary sequels, if you guys were curious, yes, The Cutting Edge has 4.
What?
Yeah.
I've
yeah.
seen all of them.
Oh, yeah.
There was once, it was the ABC channel had a Saturday marathon of every single version of
no,
The Cutting Edge in a row.
Not. Oh, my God.
Was,
yeah,
was,
there are
just,
4 of these fucking films.
It was just like Ice Skating Weekend, but they had a very limited number of ice skating movies because they were all based on like the same 2. Like, there's the one about the girl who wants to be an ice skater who's working her way up,
yep.
and the couple who want to ice skate and don't mm-hmm. know they're secretly in love with yeah. each other.
Pretty much
and
all different casts, though.
I thought, yeah. So
no,
I saw
no one stuck
one.
Around.
Yeah, what would you?
Who knows, man? Raking in that cutting that edge money.
Like they have a kid,
yeah,
and then their kid, they turn it into a trio act,
and they come back.
Dom DeLuise did it for All Dogs Go to Heaven, so
yeah.
I think
yeah.
one of them turned into like a revenge murder mystery type thing, right? The Cutting Edge 2.
Vengeance. I don't this know. Time it's personal.
Didn't they do this? They should have, if they haven't, done the, like, dramatization story of, like, the girl with the pipe from the Olympics a million years ago. Like, that's a drama ice skating story.
I actually just heard somewhere on the internet, so you know it's true, mm-hmm. that they were working on making that biopic.
See, perfect.
Who's the girl with the pipe?
It is Tonya Harding and Nancy something.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Like, one girl hit the other girl in the knee with a lead pipe to, like, hurt her chances at being an Olympic medalist. Yeah.
And this is why you should see All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yes. It's the same concept. Except instead of a lead pipe, they use a car.
Yeah, that's true.
The bottom line is, don't let your kids see this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really dark. I mean, that's the thing. If you know your kids are okay with that kind of dark material, then it's fine. And I feel like the music and the dogs itself kind of lightens it up.
I feel like when I was a kid, I didn't get that. Like, yeah. they'd be drinking, but I didn't know that what alcohol was, or that it was bad, or that it affected your judgment.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a movie about, like, I don't think it occurred to me when I was little that what they were doing with the gambling ring thing was illegal.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, ah, this dog's using her for his own purposes, but his purposes are, like, totally cool, but selfish, but otherwise fine. And so all of the stuff that makes me as an adult be like, whoa. I didn't care as a kid.
Yeah.
I think musical numbers and dancing and stuff like that really lighten up anything. I mean, when you take like the actual story behind Les Mis and then you look at it with music, and it's like, this is a delightful romp.
It's so colorful and innocent.
Charming and hilarious, just like us.
So what are we rating it, ladies?
I give it a blast from the past.
I'm going to give it a gasp. I did not know I was watching that as a kid.
And it divides.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, Danny's going to give a review of
Blade Runner.
Okay.
Ooh.
Which cut?
I think the one I saw was actually the director's
cut. He's like, whatever, the terrible one, whichever one I watched.
Whichever one I watched. Yeah. There you go.
All right. So yeah, we'll do that when we come back. If you wish to join the conversation, give us a call 909-360-8330 or message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We will be right back.
Chaotic Radio, because the rest is just a waste of time.
Oh, hi-ho, everyone. This is Kermit the Frog. You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Before the break, we were doing something. I don't know. We were talking about dogs in heaven.
They go there. All of them. Unless you steal the watch and then you go to hell.
Unless that's just a delusional fantasy we tell our kids so they don't cry.
Well, I think any Don Bluth film was probably heavily drug-inspired. Look at the time they were made. No, we were doing Blast from the Past, and Danny is going to regale us with his review of Blade Runner.
I'm going to take a nap before you start, so just let me know when you're done.
Well, no, his review is not going to be as long as the movie.
Oh, okay, good.
And you'll know when it's over because everybody will be clapping. So yeah, 1982's Blade Runner.
So were you even a thing yet? Were you even a thought?
I wasn't even a glimmer in my dad's eye, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's awful.
That's hurtful.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I'm dying a little inside.
Sorry, man. I was born when I was born. I can't fix it.
You could steal the watch and
steal a watch. All right. And I waited a long time to see this movie. I didn't see this movie for the first time until maybe about a year ago. And I saw the director's cut the first time, and I saw the regular cut this last weekend. And I gotta say, both occasions, did not like the movie.
What's it about?
Okay, so it's takes place in the future, and there are these, what they call replicants running around, and like they become kind of a problem because they become self-aware and are starting to revolt and hurt people. And so they've come up with this test, which is like ridiculously long, takes hours to complete the test, and they contract Blade Runners, Harrison Ford is a Blade Runner, by the name of Rick Deckard.
Which I think their job has a much cooler sounding name than what they actually do.
Yeah, they make it sound like, oh my god, this guy's gonna like just have knives and be awesome. No, he's just gonna ask you a few questions. But, so they administer this test and they find out you're a replicant by the way you respond and react to the questions. And if you are, they decommission you. And so, the movie just, follows, Harrison Ford around as he goes and asks these, interviews all these people who are being accused of being replicant. And then it just kind of goes out of control when Rucker Hauer takes over. And he kind of is the kind of like the center of this replicant revolt. And, yeah, I think
you said it. I think it about sums it up.
Yeah. I mean,
that sounds about as boring as I remember it being.
The way it ends is just like, you don't know who's who or what's what. Up is cat and two and two equals
there
fish.
There's a lot of that. Are you a replicant? No. Are you? No.
I'm a Cylon.
Maybe.
I'm a Cylon.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All replicants go to heaven.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think on paper, Ridley Scott might have had a cool idea, but.
Well, a cool idea he took from Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
Who wrote the story that it's based on.
But I just don't think it translated well. I mean, visually.
We're gonna get hate mail.
Yeah, we are. Visually, in 1982, this movie was amazing. just down to like the, like light up umbrellas. Mm-hmm. Those were amazing.
And do you think this is, and I can ask this of anybody, like you watched All Dogs Go to Heaven for the first, like didn't remember it, seeing it now, seeing it with different eyes. If you had seen this when it came out, do you think that would have made a difference? Or do you think it was awful?
If I'd have been the age I am now and in 1982 and seen it, it probably would have blown my mind.
Because like, you know, my example of that is always The Exorcist. If I had seen The Exorcist, maybe when it came out,
when I was young,
like maybe I'd have been like, this is the most terrifying thing. I saw it when I turned 18 and it was the funniest shit I've seen in
yeah.
my life.
Yeah,
that
no,
movie
that's
was
true.
Not terrifically
yeah.
scary. There was one part in it that was actually scary to me as a 28-year-old when I watched it for the first time and I went, whoa, and it wasn't even scary because I thought it was real. It was just scary because.
Is that when she turns her head around or crawls down the stairs?
Neither.
No, which part?
I don't think I can say it on here.
The crucifix
yes.
scene. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll sum it up with that.
I giggled like a schoolgirl when I saw that because it was just her voice and what she was saying while she's doing it. It just seemed so silly to me. Yeah. I don't know.
It is one of those movies that, you know, there was nothing like it. And so I think that's why. Yeah. And then obviously like there was a lot of like weird things that happened on the set.
Yeah, yeah.
And fun fact, there is an actual serial killer that is in this movie. Like an actual, the guy who like performs the MRI, he's like an extra, but he was like an actual med student. He performs an MRI. It actually turned out that he is an actual real life serial killer and killed like six women. Straight up. It's insane.
It sounds like an infinitely more interesting movie.
Yeah, right. I remember when I found that out and I started researching it, I was like, this is way better than The Exorcist. Like this is
I would
so
watch that
crazy.
Movie.
Yeah.
I think I remember seeing like a documentary about The Exorcist. I haven't seen The Exorcist, but I've seen a documentary about it. And they were talking about all like the crazy stuff happening and like the director was this crazy, demanding, like Trump personality. I don't know. That's like just the word for it now. And so like they're talking about how people would like wait in line for like 8 hours to see it because it was only in a few movie theaters and they'd come out puking. But then they'd also show clips from it. And I was like, what is this? This is really tame. This is like,
well, especially now with the kind of VFX and things that we have, we are desensitized to it. So absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was a product of its time. Yeah. Kind of like how maybe if you had been raised to see, I've actually never seen Blade Runner. So I feel like I could give it a litmus test. I should watch it and see.
I enjoyed it. I had to watch it and then write an essay about it for my postmodernist art class.
Mm.
And I think I had to compare Blade Runner to the creative work of Michael Jackson. And a testament to my education, I don't remember anything about either of those things.
There you go.
All right.
So, The Exorcist, are you giving it a blast or
The Exorcist? I actually really like The Exorcist, but
so Blade Runner. Final thoughts.
Blade Runner. It's a ghast, man. I could not like. I wanted so bad to, but I could not like it.
So good. We spent the review talking about another film.
Yep.
Blade Runner had a modest runtime of 1 hour and 57 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when I saw that movie, I needed a young priest and an old priest.
I honestly, I didn't really care for Blade Runner either. It feels like a lot longer than 2 hours to me.
It really does.
Yeah. And it is one of those where we are going to have people that are like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Blade Runner is awesome.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the sequel.
Yeah, that's another thing I'm worried about.
With the goss.
But see, it's already going to be made better by Ryan Gosling.
No, right? There you go.
At least there'll be eye candy.
I'm just waiting for, what's her name?
Emma Stone?
Emma Stone to show up and be a replicant. You know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then they'll sing City of Stars from La La Land and it'll all be good.
It'll all be better. Yep.
Sounds like an acid trip. All right. so I am reviewing Little Monsters from 1989.
Yes! That's Ben and Fred Savage, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Brothers playing brothers. It's weird. This is a film that, obviously I saw back when it came out and I loved it because the idea of monsters that live under your bed that have a magical world that you can go to, where there's video arcades and all the food you can want and you get to go terrorize other kids that bullied you. Not that I was bullied, but I would like to talk a little bit about that for a minute. No, it's just, I don't know. Like, I think as a little kid, my girlfriend and I were talking about this earlier, cause I just rewatched it again today, so it was fresh in my mind. But like, the idea of all the kid adventure films from the 80s.
The Explorers.
Like The Explorers and Goonies and all those things where, a lot of those movies don't really hold up today.
No.
But as a kid, when you saw them, you were like, yeah, I want to do that. You know, and it's because life sucks as a child. I mean, maybe it was just my life. I'm not sure. But
no,
this movie.
I agree with that.
I don't know if it holds up today. I still enjoy watching it. I've watched it a number of times since I purchased it on digital media. And although I will, watching it with adult eyes, there are some problems that I have. So the idea that if you go into the monster world and then the sun rises, you get stuck down there and you become a monster yourself. Huh. Right? Okay. So here's my issue with that. At the end of the movie, that happens. And then Fred Savage is like, no, we're going to go west. And so they run. They're like on the East Coast and they run to California where the sun hasn't come up yet. And then they get out. Through a bed on the beach, a bum sleeping on a thing.
Yeah.
And so my problem with that is, how is anyone ever stuck? Because it's always dark somewhere. It's always nighttime somewhere. And if you have access to the whole world of beds, how do you ever get stuck there?
Maybe if you're dumb?
Yeah, I was about to say if you're an idiot, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
It's like a way of filtering out the dumb ones.
I guess.
Yeah, it's like the Darwin.
Or, you know, maybe they wanted to test it and then they're like, I want to go now, but they can't.
Yeah, I mean, like if you had like a time limit on it, like if you're down here for 24 hours, done. That makes sense to me. But it's just one of those, I think a lot of movies don't think about those things sometimes. Like, like fucking Gremlins.
Yeah.
Well,
feed them after midnight.
It's always after midnight.
Technically.
Yeah. Well, so my question is, if they ran from the East Coast to the West Coast, is it the real space? Like, they had to go 2,000 miles?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was like 10 feet, maybe.
Yeah. Which is funny, because as they're crossing the quote-unquote United States, like, they keep, like, sun keeps outrunning them until they get to California. So it must take them a little bit of time, because it's like a 3-hour time difference. It wouldn't be, like, within minutes of the East Coast sun up. You know, so there must have been some length of running, I guess. I don't know. They don't really go into a lot of detail on that.
How did they get back home?
They had called their mom,
right? That's how the movie ends. It's like the
mom
the
little... in California?
No, that's actually exactly how the movie ends.
Because they're trying to recruit Fred Savage is basically what happens. And then he gets mad and escapes because they're trying to terrorize a little baby. And so they kidnap his brother to get him to come back down there. And so the mom thinks... And so one night, he gets kidnapped. The following night, Fred Savage gets his buddies. They go down there. They rescue the brother, and then they wind up in California the next day. Mm-hmm. And they call to be like, "Mom, I found him. He's okay." And they're like, "Oh, thank goodness. Where are you? We'll come pick you up." Malibu. And they're like, "Malibu, Massachusetts? Where's that?" First off, your parents are ignorant. But and they're like, "California." And then the parents are like, "How did you get there?"
Like, "We don't have enough money to fly."
Wait, so the little brother was stolen, and then a full day passed, and then the next night he escapes.
Maybe it was the same night. I think it's the same night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes it even more like, how the fuck are you in California?
Yeah, really.
If it was the same, like, the next morning. It's like, hours have passed.
Not only that, but there's a whole, like, let's put together armor and weapon montage.
That's which true. Also, their flashlights.
So these kids are also electrical geniuses, by the way. Because the monster's weakness is light.
Okay.
And so, Fred Savage, to go rescue his brother, they make this, like, flashlight gun that's huge, and that sort of works, and then it doesn't, and then they escape, and then they rig these full body suits of just lights, and when they're encountering the main bad guy for the first time, he makes a comment about something about within an hour, and then you'll all be monsters, and then they get trapped, they escape. They go, they get the shit to make these light suits, come back, put the suits on, construct this whatever, and it's like, in an hour? Are you fucking kidding me? Is this an episode of 24 right now? What is going on?
Well, here's a possible explanation. As a child, an hour to me legitimately felt like 3 days most of the time, so it could be that just to them that's their interpretation of the time passing.
Solid point.
Maybe in Monster World an hour is like...
Yeah. It's like a week.
Well, and time is different in the monster world.
Except that it wasn't.
Maybe he was like lying. Like if they only had an hour, you could be like, whatever, you have like days left.
Yeah. And you can take your time. The kid isn't exactly trustworthy. Whoa. All right. He's kind of a sleazeball.
Boy.
I don't know why I called him the kid. I thought that's what I remembered his name being, but boy. But yeah. That's his name.
Like I can dismiss that. My problem is this kid's electrical engineering degree.
He's
in sixth grade.
That is true.
And he's doing shit that would make MacGyver scratch his head. Like it was nutty. But anyway,
I honestly, it's silly. I thought the one thing that was going to take you out of the movie was the phallic thing that pops out of Howie Mandel's head.
Nope. I love Howie Mandel and phallic things.
All right. So, I thought that was going to be your point of contention. Yeah. But alas, it is not. It's the time that fucks you up.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's my big problem.
And let's be honest, if MacGyver was in that position, he would take like a match and a toothpick and like some baling wire and stop the sun from rising somehow.
Yeah. There is a very weird thing that comes out of his head.
Derek. That's what happens when he gets upset. Okay. Jeez.
Every time I watch that movie, I'm like, why? Why is this happening?
I think that's a great gag.
It's funny, but it's extremely phallic and awkward.
I wish that I had that.
That might make it awkward in some social situations.
Yeah.
I'm already
awkward in social situations, so I could just be like, that's it, I'm upset, and then this thing would fucking, and then pop back down.
Also the mischief that they commit, throughout the evening, not cool. Like, even by, like, child standards, like, I don't know, peeing in a jar and putting it in somebody's refrigerator.
Why would they do that?
Little strong.
So there's a bully that and they go get revenge on the bully.
Okay, that's
But then
the
bully. That bully joins their team at the end, which also doesn't make any sense because he sends the monster to get him. And the monster wakes him up, and then the next thing, he's there with them. And you're like, no. If that kid, if a monster was like, Ronnie, he would have shit himself, and then like he would have been like, "Yeah, bring me into your underworld. Let's do this." So, all that being said, I'm still giving it a blast for the past because it's just a fun movie. Unfortunately, it's not available on Netflix or anything like that. So, if you want to see it, you'll have to spend money.
Can you rent it on Amazon Prime or whatever?
It might be on Amazon Prime. I did it on Vudu. You can rent it or buy it digitally on Vudu.
Okay. So, is All Dogs Go to Heaven on Netflix, since we mentioned that one?
I acquired it through means that I'd rather not disclose over public radio.
But I do believe it is also on Netflix, possibly, because it was when I saw it last, but I mean, you know how Netflix changes overnight pretty much. You can also get it from the $5 bin at Walmart, easily. So that's where I got my copy.
Probably get like a combo pack with All Dogs Go to Heaven 2.
Actually, yes. And I think that's how I got it. And I just threw the second one in the garbage, straight in the garbage.
I feel like I remember watching All Dogs Go to Heaven 2 and being like, I don't know what number one is, but I am down for this adventure. And I, 6-year-old me had a good time.
You really didn't have to have seen the first one to get the second one, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there in the title.
The plot was not the same at all, I don't think.
I think it was another orphan kid who was going to be a magician, I guess, a street magician.
I feel like a better one would be like a play on the two, so it's like, all cats go to heaven too!
The plot summary for two, it says, Charlie and Itchy return to Earth to find Gabriel's horn.
Oh, right.
But along the way, meet up with a young boy named David who ran away from home.
And he wants to be the street magician?
Sure.
Yeah, he does like card tricks.
Wait. His name's David?
All I know is Sheena Easton is a voice in All Dogs Go to Heaven 2.
My question is, I know why they didn't bring back Anne-Marie, because her voice actress was murdered, but the point was, like, why did they not deal with her at all? Like, if you're going to come back to Earth, why would you not visit the little girl that you were in love with?
Because she has everything she's ever wanted. She doesn't need them anymore.
Because she was fucking murdered.
By her own
father. Because she was murdered by the new orphan parents that they gave her. I don't
know. Yeah.
Because she's enjoying syrupy waffles.
with butter, apparently. That was, like, really important to her.
You just made me hungry. Thank you.
Actually, I know, me too.
I want some a lot rules. Of voice work on this. Same Wallace Shawn, Jim Cummings.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Castellaneta from The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right. Someone played a Chihuahua, Hamilton Camp. I don't know who that is.
It's a great name, though.
Well, it is time for yet another commercial break. Wow, we spent way too much time talking about this.
I think that's the longest blast from the past we've ever had.
We did have 4 movies, though.
It is true. So, when we come back, we're going to start talking about some manthology.
Woo!
Very excited to talk about all the phallic things that are in this book.
You're into that, aren't you? With the head thing in the book?
Absolutely. I've seen some of the images from inside, and it's truly something to behold. So, if you wish to join the conversation, give us a call, 909-360-8330, or message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We will be right back. Personal columns. There was this letter I read.
If you like pina coladas. There's bad radio, good radio, and chaotic radio. In that order.
Hey, bub, you're listening to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Don't go anywhere, or else.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Tonight, we've got some of the ladybugs in the studio. Is that an accurate statement? I can say that?
Yes, we are two of the ladybugs.
Two of the ladybugs.
Like the movie?
Shut up. We did that joke last time.
It was a year ago. People won't remember.
We have new listeners, Mike.
Let's just go through the exact same jokes as last time.
Let's
we made some good ones.
Look,
the death of Jonathan Brandis is still fresh. I can make jokes about Bill Pullman. No, I'm kidding. I know who died. Shut up. All right. Anyway, we had these ladies in last year to talk about the Ladybugs. And I think it was just the Ladybugs Anthology was the first one.
Yep, self-titled.
And, yes. And they're back to talk about something that is just...
Completely different.
Completely different.
I mean, it's still an anthology. It has that in common with the one from last year.
It is an anthology.
Yes. And women helped make it. That's also something it has in common.
It's not just an anthology. It's a...
Manthology.
That was so beautifully timed. Oh, my God.
Christine and I are the dream team, so...
So before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about the ladybugs again, just in case people didn't catch the show the last time. What are the ladybugs?
We are a group of women comic creators that are in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah, we meet up every Thursday at the Comic Bug in Manhattan Beach, California, from 6 to 9. Because I know there's...
That is quite a drive.
Yes, that would be intense.
Because I know people get confused, apparently, so I just want to make sure that's clear. And so we meet up there from 6 to 9 at the Comic Bug every Thursday. and we hang out. Some people work on their comics. Some people read comics. We tend to talk about comics and also other stuff. And it's really just like a cool place to hang out with other creatives. I think we even have one person who shows up who doesn't like comics. She just likes hang out with other women who like to draw. So we're not super exclusive. You just have to be not a man, unfortunately. Sorry to everyone else in this room who is not presently a ladybug.
I think we discussed the possibility of showing up in drag last time.
Did we?
We did, yeah.
And that would be fine.
Yeah.
I would think.
I feel like, yeah, like, I
mean, in true ladybug's fashion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, I think we have said we're open to people who are like genderqueer, trans women or women. And so, like, we don't really ask questions because no one's really tried to test it yet. I think we didn't. Yeah. I think we have had someone like genderqueer show up to the meetings recently. And they had a good time, and they've showed up multiple times, and it was really cool.
Well, I'm not talking genderqueer. I'm just talking about a dude who wants to dress up like a lady so that he can be a part of your festivities.
Well, maybe if they're there and they're being supportive and cool, then, I mean, if you're going to go to the trouble to dress and drag.
That's right. True.
That's a lot of makeup and
shaving. If you put your heart into it, maybe. But I'm not the gatekeeper of the ladybugs. So I actually don't get to make this call. Right.
Well, Derek, it sounds like you're in. So.
But I mean, like,
fucking knew it was coming to something.
You,
I knew it.
Are you going
to
wear high heels? Is I mean, the if question. You,
I actually think I could manage. Okay. I think I could do it.
And if you need an excuse just to make your outside match your inside, I mean, try it.
Yeah, it might open your world, expand your horizons a bit.
We just want people to have a good time and enjoy.
It's fine. I know that deep down inside, I am a 15-year-old girl named Becky. So I
well,
get
there
it.
You go. Welcome, Becky. Yes. You can be a ladybug.
Yes. And you can't come, Mike.
You won't be invited.
We also usually have snacks, if that, like, sways anyone who's been on the
totally
fence.
Sold.
Almost always cheese.
Almost
I think
always.
We mentioned that last time.
Think,
yes. We did.
When the young ones don't show up, we have alcohol sometimes.
Yes.
And then the party really begins.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think we officially go from 6 to 9, but we tend to start late and stay later. So if you show up at 6 o'clock on the dock because you're real excited, there might only be one or two other people there.
That has happened to me quite a few times.
Yeah. It's just, like, wait it out. It happens inside of a comic book store, so if you don't have anything else to do while waiting, you can check out some comics.
Ooh. Mike has quite a selection, and now there's the game hub that is directly next door, so if you like tabletop games, you can walk right over there and check out all that stuff.
I think Thursday night is Pokemon night, so they have people playing the Pokemon card game.
It's really rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Is it a separate business entity, or is it?
It's the same person owns both, but okay. I think they are technically two different businesses.
They did cut out the wall between the stores, though, so
that's
you
true.
Can walk just back walk and forth. Forth. Mm-hmm. It works really well for things like release parties for anthologies and signings because it gives you so much more space.
Yes.
Nice. And then, obviously, last time you guys were talking about the Ladybugs anthology, and I don't think it had come out yet, or had
I think it was about to come out, because wasn't our release party in May? Yeah, so it hadn't quite come out yet, just like this one hasn't quite come out, but this one will be coming out a lot faster.
This is coming out March 8th, International Women's Day.
Nice.
Well-timed.
And so let's celebrate women by buying something with the word man in big red letters on the cover.
So let's talk about the manthology. Where did the inspiration come from?
I think the like kernel behind this is that there are a lot of people making indie comics and indie like scripts and stories who happen to have a lot of material in them that is off-putting to female readers. And it's not because they don't like female readers or don't want female readers. They just don't realize that women hate it when you only have one woman in your story and she dies on page 4.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So the manthology, the idea is we're going to take a lot of the tropes that women don't like, not all of them, because that would be a very big book.
Don't have that kind of budget.
We don't, unfortunately. So a lot of them. And then we just put a man in that situation and turn up to 11. And because we want it to be like more positive than that, we also have stories in here where it's men never get to do things. So for instance, we have a magical boy story. We have a magical pony story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all stories that defy gender norms in a way that points out that this is something we normally don't let men do, and then just kind of raises the question of why don't we do this? Does that mean it's not okay for us to do it to women, or does it mean maybe we should start doing it to men? And so it has a glossary in the back, And that makes it sound boring, which is why in the pitch document, I made it very clear that everyone had to be really funny. Because we want to make feminism fun for everyone. Mm-hmm. So
that's a slogan right there.
Yeah. Feminism, fun for everyone.
So, yeah, I'm just trying to rebrand feminism as charming and sassy and hilarious.
And I do want to say, you guys are, you're listening, so you don't get to actually see, like, the artwork and what's going, like...
Make
no mistake, like, it is definitely fun, and it's very funny. Like, I haven't even read any, I can just see pictures, and I'm like, oh yeah, no, this is, there is humor in this. Yeah,
I think right now I'm open up to the, magical, there's a 4-page comic about a magical boy, and an entire page is just a splash page of his transformation sequence, and as he transforms into a very appealing outfit, he has, like, beautiful sparkly ribbons wrapping around his body and, like, a theme song playing in the background. And it is, I mean, the entire book is worth it just for this one page. But oh, you're in store because there are, like, 87 other pages of contents that I feel like are on par in terms of entertainment value.
Now, we did get a message from Hannah Kent who wants to know, where can I purchase the Manthology if I'm not local to Southern California?
Oh, that's a very good question. Also, hello, Hannah. She's the one that loves Cutting Edge.
If you keep an eye out on the Ladybug Facebook page, we have, I think it's Los Angeles Women Comic Creator League Facebook page. We are going to add it to our Gumroad store soon, as soon as I get, like, the compiled PDF from our production designer. And so we're going to post in there as soon as possible where you can pre-order a digital copy or a physical copy that we can mail to you.
Awesome. And yeah. I think the website is just ladybugcomics.org, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People just
yeah.
want more information mm-hmm. about you guys.
Go check us all out.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
of our shining faces are on there.
And I think on most social media where like our name is Ladybug Comics, and so yeah. you can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram.
Do we have a Snapchat? Is that a thing we do?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. That may be hard for us as a group to do, I think.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I would also like to correct myself when I said you guys. I mean, you ladies.
Mm-hmm. No, it's okay. I personally accept guys
that's
as
a figure of speech,
guys,
but, you know.
Guys gender neutral.
Yeah. Gender neutral.
It's like a very feminine term.
What's up, fellas? That's what I've been watching a lot of the Dick Van Dyke Show, and he has two coworkers. One's a lady, but she's very butch, for lack of a better term, but he's always calling them fellas. You know, and it's weird. And, like, usually she's just fine with it. And there's, like, a couple of episodes where they, like, deal with, hey, treat her like a lady. So he stops calling her fellas. I don't know. It's weird. Just, the idea that it's, like, fellas and there's a girl there is just weird to me. But, yeah, guys is so...
I feel like
just
a better...
say it.
Like, you know, my go-to gender-neutral term is bitches.
Yeah.
But I feel like yeah. not everyone can pull it off.
I don't...
You need confidence.
I'm not sure if I could just... I'm not sure how well that would go over.
He's yeah. like, thanks, back to you, bitches.
Yeah.
I have a friend who always calls everyone dude, no matter mm-hmm. male, yeah. female, anything in between. He's like, dudes. And I'm like, why do you always call me dude? And he's like, oh, I just don't think of it as yeah. gender or anything. Mm-hmm. I just like
I do
dudes.
That, though.
Yeah.
I do that. I call pretty much everybody dude
yeah.
at
so
some point.
I'm on board with it. I'm just like, whatever. You know, just don't call me late for dinner. That was a dad joke.
So, in the Manthology, now there's a whole slew of writers and artists, that are part of this, including both of you as mm-hmm. well.
Yes.
So, what have you done in this book?
I did a 8-page story called The Mare, the Merrier, and it is a magical pony story. The idea is, it kind of is evocative of a certain colorful pony story you may remember from the 80s, which oddly, if you watch it, there were boy ponies, but they were in like 2 episodes. And I always questioned, where are they? How come they're not out saving the world like the rest of the girls?
They definitely deserve representation.
They do. And so in my story, I explain where they have been. And basically, they are kept locked inside of a barn because they are too pretty to go outside. The boy ponies just cannot handle saving the world. They're pretty. One has a beautiful mane that has to be kept free of mud and sticks and has to use lots of conditioner. The other one has hollow bones and he might break. The third one has to keep his beautiful eyes hidden from the world. And the concept is basically, you know, what happens if they escape their barn and decide to go on an adventure anyway? So they go out and they save the world in their own way. Yeah, it's very colorful. You've got
sounds like Zoolander with ponies.
It is a little bit. I mean, you've got see, you guys listening can't see the rainbow gradient that I used for this pony's mane, which. Anytime I can, I do a lot of comic color work. Anytime I can use a rainbow gradient legitimately somewhere, I feel like I've won the day. So I have yet another example of a legitimate published rainbow gradient that I have done. But yeah, so basically the main bad guy is called the Shadow Witch and he's eating the color in the world, which is very Rainbow Bright-esque, if you remember that show.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's puntastic. As you remember earlier, I was named the Pun Machine. Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome.
My lovely husband helped me punch up the dialogue. Even he's getting on the pun train and he hates it. We started dating and he's like, I hate puns. I'm like, well, you're dating me now.
Aw, you fixed him.
Now he's
they
telling
say
puns.
You can't fix them. Yeah. No, you can.
Yeah, you can. You can. Took some training.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And
I was the editor in chief of this book, which means I got to call all of the shots about deadlines, extensions, who's in it, who does the cover. I gave people feedback just to help them make the best comic they possibly could.
She's kind of benevolent ruler.
Yes. Yeah.
So you got to be the one that was like, no, slide it back.
Basically, yes. And so one of the advantages of my position is I got the opportunity to be a huge asshole, because everyone
it's the
else
dream.
Took 6 months to make their entire comic, and I was constantly sending them updates about deadlines and making sure they would get it in on time. And then about 2 weeks before the final deadline for finished comics, I finally sat down to write my script.
It's revealed.
Yeah. No. I'm terrible. I am literally the worst. And it's terrible because up until that point, I had buckets of hilarious ideas for stories for this. Like one of them was like the sexy detective, and he's like. Really qualified at being a detective. He can pick locks, knows karate, but every time he runs into a problem, he solves it by being real sexy. And then he runs into a lesbian. Oh no. And he suddenly has to solve the problem with his natural, like with his skills that he learned in school.
Can you still make that?
I think I probably will. But so I don't know. I had buckets of ideas and I decided to sit down and figure out what is important that needs to be addressed that isn't already in this book? And I'll write a story about that. Hopefully I already have the idea for it. And after looking through everything, the trope that I came away with that I thought would add a lot to this book was the overuse of rape as a plot device, which I was not excited about. I was actually very angry at every single individual contributor for like a day. And then I wrote a book, I wrote a story about, two characters who are in a story where one of those scenes is supposed to happen, but then they both agree that it's really dumb and they don't want to do it. And the writer chimes in and says, no, you guys, this is really important to the plot. And so it becomes a story about two characters trying to convince the writer to change the story because one of them doesn't want to rape anyone. And then the other one just doesn't want to get raped. And so they just have an argument with him based on like good storytelling and just like by the end of it, they're like workshopping how to fix his script.
It's pretty much fourth wall breaking the entire time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like it had to be funny. So I had one of the characters wear a bright pink strap on the entire time.
Yes.
You guys asked for samples from the interior of the book. I sent my page and I was like, hey, so I don't know if you can use this because there's a strap on every page, but I included the one where the strap on takes up the least real estate. So maybe this works.
I do want to tell you that I mentioned what you said to me in the email to my girlfriend, and she is completely on board with this. And I did show her the image that you sent me of, and she loves it. She absolutely loves it.
Thank you. Yeah. And then another like little touch because I feel like it's the details that matter. And Joe, you'll appreciate this because you're a colorist. In the title credits, I didn't know how to give it like a really good punch. So I made my name the exact same color as the strap-on so that readers can form that mental connection between the two, you know? That was really important to me.
That was a clever way to do that. I like it. I did not notice that before, but now that you brought it to my attention. Yeah,
that is amazing.
That's why I'm editor-in-chief.
God. I love it. I love it.
How many stories in total are in the anthology?
I think it's 14
stories, and then a 6-page pinup section in the middle.
I mean, I was, manthology. I didn't think it was going to be so big.
Yeah. I made this joke during the break, but I wish it had been a hardcover so it could be the big, hard manthology.
Mm-hmm. Are there, Are there any...
Derailed.
Are you allowed to talk about any of the other stories in the... I mean, we don't have to obviously go into super detail. We don't want to spoil anything for anyone.
I really like that pirate one, Dirty Treasure.
Dirty Treasure, actually have...
The story name is Dirty Treasure?
Yeah, it's Dirty Treasure. It's about a bunch of lady pirates who run into a siren on the sea, and the siren tries to seduce them, so it's subverting the femme fatale with a dude fatale. I think that's the term. And so, actually, the artist and I are very close. And she was sending me examples of this one page because there's a part where like a giant kraken monster comes out of the sea and attacks the mermaid. And it's a call out to basically every hentai ever because he's attacked by this tentacle creature. And then the tentacle creature shoots this goo out of the tips of its tentacles. And she sent me multiple versions of this one very erotic
just
panel.
All over
trying
his face
to figure out.
Back.
Yeah. And she wanted to know what is the perfect color for the goo. Cause we agreed that like white was like too on the nose.
Yeah. That's too much.
But green didn't show up very well. Mm. And we ended up going with black, which really pops and actually makes sense cause squids have ink.
Squid ink. Right.
Yeah. And so that was just like another just like nugget of joy that this anthology brought into my life.
And I love how they all have nosebleeds.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and then so also, like, another thing was, like, all the lady pirates, there's a lot of variety in, like, body types, skin colors, and they'll have battle scars and missing legs. And so, like, they're very clearly, like a lot of the time in women's character designs, you start by drawing something really hot, and then that's it, that you're done. And that's actually, I understand that now, because when I did the character designs for my story, I spent an hour on the female character, because I wanted her to be, like, mad scientist and intelligent, but not, like, too scary because she's supposed to be the one talking the most. And then when I got to the judo, I was like, hot guy, 10 seconds, done. Right? So I get why people do that. It's very easy. But unfortunately, when too many people do it, female readers don't like it as much. We do really enjoy it when there's variety in character designs. And so that is a part of what Dirty Treasure has to offer the world. And I mean, like, in addition to be charming and hilarious, it's also like a really well-written story. And it's got like a really great twist ending.
Can I see some of the lady pirates? I just want to see the designs that you're talking about.
Wants to see the lady parts.
That's what I thought he was going to say. I was like, this is the manthology, sir.
You'll see men parts, but
well,
you won't
I'm just,
see.
I was curious about the, yeah, see, like, when you're talking about, like, they look like pirates, like they should. Mm-hmm. Whereas you see in a lot of, like, fantasy settings that you're talking about with female characters, because they're trying to make them sexy, they'll be wearing armor that,
Doesn't make any sense
at all.
Really, it's like a cardinal crime to cover up the boobs.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I like boobs, but. Yeah.
Well,
means,
that's,
you know.
The reason that they make breastplates that cup and nurture the breasts is because everyone knows the top side of the breast, the cleavage, is actually impervious.
Yes.
To swords and,
yes.
And arrows and things
it
like that.
It deflects absolutely all incoming
yeah.
projectiles.
Yeah, exactly. So.
I think I've read critique of those kinds of breastplates, and the other, like, terrible problem with them is that it kind of makes it so that if you hit the front of a woman, yeah. all of the pressure is going to go onto their sternum and then directly into the heart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is bad.
Instant kill button.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. One direct hit to the center.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yep.
So, Hannah asks, who drew the cover? It's fantastic.
Ooh, it's an artist by the name of Meng Meng Liu, MENG LIU. I absolutely adore her work. Actually, I found her, I was going through Artist Alley. And then I was like getting business cards from people who had work that I thought would be good for the cover of this book. And I explained to one of the artists what we were doing. And she was like, you need to hold the fuck on. My friend is one aisle over from here, right? Her name is Meng Meng. She's fantastic. And she has been drawing covers for your anthology her entire life. So you get out. Don't take my business card. You don't need to contact me. Your job is over. Get over there and talk to her. Because she would love this. And, of course, I went over there. I found her fairly quickly because, I mean, how could you not see this kind of work across the room? And, like, as I described to her the project, like, her eyes lit up. And she just, this giant smile came across her face. And she was just totally down. And so I didn't even email any of the other people. She was the first person I contacted to. She was willing to work for the rate we could afford. And working with her was really great. Anyone looking for just illustrations of hot man meat, contact her.
She is good at what she does.
She is. Great sense of color theory, and
also very realistic rendering of water and a plastic mm-hmm. tube, like
yeah.
the inner tube kind of situation.
And there were just like little details yeah. she was looking out for. So there's like a version of this cover she sent me where he has like popsicle smudges all over his face. She's like a really mastermind at this kind of stuff, and I appreciate it.
But getting back to the tube, because it really does draw your eye, not the...
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think during the thumbnail stage, people kept referring to this as the manhole cover.
Oh. I can appreciate a pun like that.
Wow. That is pun machine approved.
Ka-chick.
Oh, boy. So what is the hopes, the dreams, the future of the Manthology?
Well, I think my two dreams is one, that everyone has a really, really good time at the release party, because it's going to be off the chain. Like I said, karaoke is going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I already have my song picked out. It's from Hamilton. I can rap if it's from Hamilton. That's a fun fact about me.
Which one?
It's satisfying. Actually, I can do every single song from Hamilton.
We can just start from the beginning if you want.
I'm just going to do Satisfied because my girlfriend's really into that song. So I want to do that. I want to have a really good time at that party. But I also want as many people as possible to read it. I think it's an enjoyable experience. I think it's a very good book, and the creators have put so much work into this, and I feel like they just deserve to have eyes on these fantastic stories. I don't know why I accidentally emphasized the word ass and fantastic.
Have you met yourself?
That's a fair point.
That's why.
Well, I mean, the book, I mean, it's really for everyone because it has ponies and dildos, mm-hmm. So get it for the kids.
Ooh, maybe not.
It's like an all dogs go to heaven kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. If you feel like your kid's going to handle that kind of content.
The Manthology directed by Don Bluth.
Yeah. They'll just notice the pretty colors. It won't be any big deal.
They'll say, oh, look at that pony, shiny rainbow mane.
Like, I mean, the strap-on is bright, bright pink, so it's clearly for girls. Yeah.
What is this? It's a unicorn.
Why is there a unicorn horn on the bottom?
Yeah.
Well, so.
When
two people love each other very much.
Or when the writer tells them to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought up the character design thing in the Dirty Treasure book or story, because in my pony story, the female ponies are actually extremely battle worn, and they're kind of desaturated color wise. They have bandoliers of bullets. They have scars. One of them looks extremely like Raider Wasteland with like the dyed green hair that's in like weird knots all over. I basically made them Fallout ponies.
Nice.
You did. They have like spikes all over their Fallout armor ponies. And like it's white amazing. Streaks in their hair.
I thought about putting like blood and gore all over it, because this was going to be an older rated anthology, and then I was like, I don't think it adds anything to the conversation. So.
Oh yeah, if you haven't noticed by now, it's for ages 18 and up. Yeah. Wink. So there's a little winky face right after the text.
It's right on the tube. Can't miss it.
I thought that was part of the tube. I didn't realize it was a winky.
It's right on the hole, everybody. You can't miss it.
Unrelenting.
I think you may have mentioned it. You mentioned the word release party. When is that again?
March 8th from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Comic Bug in Manhattan Beach. You can find our event page for it if you just find the Los Angeles Women Comic Creator League on Facebook. You can also, I think, find links to it by going to our Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitter accounts, which might be easier to find because it's just Ladybug Comics. Mm-hmm. If you follow me on Twitter, I'll shamelessly plug myself at the end of this. I can wait.
You have such a strength.
Holding it in all day.
No, don't hold back. Plug yourself all night.
No, because I'm really proud of myself.
And we jumped the shark. That didn't take long.
It didn't. It didn't. Only,
good night,
only
everybody.
3 seconds in. Yeah, no.
Oh, my goodness. No, seriously, come to the party. You'll have a good time.
It's going
to
be, there's food, drinks, comics, and karaoke. Like, how could you not have a good time?
Yep. And will the book be available for purchase at said release party?
Yes.
Yeah, it will be available for physical purchase and everything for the first time at that party. This is just the exclusive advanced digital copy that only I have. Even creators don't.
I don't have a copy yet.
Yeah. And then so this is my special personal copy that happens to have a misprint on the back. It's supposed to say Christine Hipp, editor-in-chief, but it says Christine Hipp, motherfucking editor-in-chief, bitches! So, I had an email the printer
but
about
it's not
that.
Offensive, guys, because bitches is how she just refers to people.
It's a gender-neutral term.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
She's making it that way. No, and we're going to have a pretty large collection of the creators there, mm-hmm. so male and female. You can come get it. You can come get it signed by all of us because that definitely makes the value even higher.
You can sell it on eBay in 10 years.
Yeah, and you can ask us, like, all of us about what particular gender trope we're dealing with in our stories and why it's bad, why it, how it could change. Or you can just be like, hey, man, I liked your comic. Let's eat some pizza.
Yeah, usually after people, like, buy a copy of the comic. I mean, if you buy a copy of the anthology, you get a cut in line for karaoke, which is good.
Oh, there you go.
And also, while people wait in line for karaoke, they usually talk to each other and have things in common because everyone likes comics, food, drinks, and karaoke
and
at my parties.
They really do.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, that's just in general, really. They love all those things. And this, you can tell me, go fuck yourself if this question is inappropriate at this juncture, but how much does it cost to purchase said book?
It is
$20. $20. That is, that's insane for how big this book is.
It's a full color, it's 96 pages if you include the glossary and biographies, and I would. You know, these are some very charming biographies. And it's 88 pages if it's just pure comic and pinup material. I mean, I've been told that you're supposed to price porn double what you would price a normal comic. But since this is just on the precipice, we decided to go for the cost of a normal comic. And so I feel like you're really getting a bargain.
Well, yeah, what, like, anything from like DC or Marvel that has, I don't know, 16 pages, something like that is like $5.
Yeah.
So this is, that's, it's a tremendous value.
I have a question. Will the first Ladybugs anthology also be available at the release party?
It will, yes.
I didn't know if we had any copies left.
We do. I feel like we have like a couple boxes lying around. I'm going to end up having to get like a reprint of it.
Okay.
And I think if when we have it available online, I'm probably going to make like a digital bundle so you can buy a PDF of both at a discount.
Did when you guys did the launch party for the first one, did it do well? Did the book sell well?
Yeah. No, the comic bug owners, Mike and June, are the ones who fund our anthologies, and they were, I mean, they were drunk at the time, but they were really excited. I think they said there was like the best launch party they've ever had, and they were,
the turnout was great.
They were immediately talking about a second printing, which was cute.
It's always good.
One of the owners of the comic bug is named June. Oh my god. I love it so hard. All right, well, let's do this. Let's take our final commercial break for the evening. And, well, you were on it. Look at that right there. When we come back, we're going to be doing something. I don't know what. But if you wish to join the conversation, give us a call, 909-360-8330, or message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We will be right back.
It's uncensored. It's live 24/7. It's chaoticradio.com.
You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio, puny Earth creature. Now, where did I put that Illudium Pew-36 space modulator?
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Tonight, we have the Ladybugs. Well, two of them, anyway, in the studio.
I don't think we could fit them all if we all came at the same time.
That would be difficult.
Yeah.
Way too many. We could, like, cycle you guys in, though, like, you know, like a Lazy Susan or something.
That could work. 10-minute timer. Okay, time switch. Boop, boop.
For like a speed dating session, but for radio.
And for comics.
Yeah.
Speed radio.
Speed radio.
Go, Speed Radio.
Tell us about your book. Go.
Oh, sorry. 30 seconds are up. No social media for you.
At the end of the night, we will tally up all the interviews and figure out which book works best for us. So, before the break, we were talking about the upcoming Manthology. But now, I'd like to get serious. Get a little sexy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. We want to talk about, you guys have your own individual projects, and I would love to hear more about them. So who would like to go first? Please fight it out.
Ooh, can we do a pudding match? Because I could be into that.
What's a what match?
A pudding match. It's a tub of pudding, and we wrestle each other in the pudding.
Well, that's not, what if we get distracted by eating pudding, though?
That's okay. That's legal.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Honestly, I probably would stop you before you started wrestling and just like, everyone grab a spoon. Cause
yeah, like, let's just eat this tub.
This isn't going to clean itself up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Before they get in, everybody, just
yeah, because then once you're in, then it gets like dirty. It's hair.
Yeah, no one wants
just
that.
Eat around it.
Yeah.
Eat around it.
Plus, I mean, it's like, I imagine washing pudding out of your hair is probably difficult. Get all sticky and... Anyway, so.
Just part of the fun.
I'm just like going down, how realistic is this? And I'm like, wait, no, stop, pull it back. We're going back to comics. So, I'm Joey.
Yeah, we were starting to go a complete opposite direction. Yeah.
I think a Bill Cosby impression was coming very soon.
No, but I had stories of other edible treats that you try to use in the bedroom and they just, it's not good.
Nope.
It's not really good at all.
New term or new way to define what a Jell-O jiggler is. Sorry, I can't stop. Anyway, so my name is Joey, and I make comics also outside of just the things that I do with the Ladybugs. I work for comic publishers. I work for Boom and Aspen, and I've also worked for Thrillbent before, but I mostly prefer to focus on my own stuff, obviously. Who doesn't, right?
Right.
You know. I mean, I really have enjoyed working for Boom. I worked on The Lumberjanes and Adventure Time. Both really fun. I've always been a really big fan of both of those. Mm-hmm. But when it's your own personal project, I feel like that's like when your creative juices get flowing, mm-hmm. excited. So I've had a series that's been running for a while called Heavenly Kibble Guardian Corgi. And it's pretty much what it sounds like. It's a magical girl superhero dog based on my own dog who is actually in the car in the parking lot of this radio station.
Did you crack a window?
No, she's in there with my husband. He's fine.
So yes, she cracked a window for her husband.
Yes. So the dog is taking care of husband. So.
Yes. Stay. Both of you.
So the very first one came out in 2014 at WonderCon. And so I've started this tradition of always releasing a new issue at each WonderCon. Last year, I did not have one because I was working on another project called Clucked at the time. And I had people who were upset with me because I didn't have my new issue. And I was like, but I made this other thing. And like, no, where's my dog? Like, where's the sparkly dogs?
I am invested in the story.
Exactly. I'm invested. Where is it? So Heavenly Kibble Guardian Corgi 3 is finished. It's gone to the printers. It will be back in time for WonderCon. I will be debuting it there. First 50 issues will be signed and numbered by hand. It takes a long time to do. But it's basically instead of it, the series started as a one-shot. It was really just a joke for my own self. Like, oh, what would happen if my dog was a magical girl? Haha, funny. And turns out people really liked it. So, okay, I'm on board. Mm-hmm. And it kind of felt like a one-shot, like a monster of the day kind of thing. If you're familiar with like Sailor Moon, Power Rangers, that kind mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. concept. The third one is the first of three parts that will finish off the series. And so we're finally kind of adding, there's more of an overarching villain and like a storyline. And there is a possible rumor that Guardian Corgi may get some additional teammates in this issue.
Ooh.
Yeah. I am currently cutting together a video that's going to be the reveal of the front cover. I'm hoping to have that out this week. So keep your eyes peeled for it on my social media.
Awesome.
So I'll be at WonderCon, table B35. I might be completely misremembering that. You'll find me, I'm sure. So I'll have Corgi number 3. I'll also have physical copies of Clucked, which I think I talked about last time I was here on the show.
Yeah.
So Clucked is a sci-fi space romp about the last chicken on Earth. The first issue is finished and it's out in print. There's actually only there's only 100 copies total, and we probably won't be printing anymore because currently we have it discontinued as a web comic currently because we have a situation where we're having the opportunity to pitch it, so we're kind of repackaging it as that, and then depending on how that goes, you may see more of it in different formats. So nice. We'll see what happens, and if not, we'll go on with issue 2 eventually. So there will be more chicken, more space chicken. But yeah, if you want to get a copy of the first one, it's at WonderCon, and it's signed and numbered. You can get your own copy.
Awesome.
But yeah, so yeah, you can find me on social media, Joey Art on Twitter, Hey Joey Comics on Instagram, and Joey Art on Facebook and pretty much elsewhere. And my website, heyjoeycomics.com.
And please, would you spell that for everyone?
Oh, yes.
You have a unique
yes.
way of spelling
I do have a straight. Okay, so my name is spelled the French way. J-O-I-E. So it's literally H-E-Y-J-O-I-E comics.com.
Awesome. They just keep that in mind. They'll be able to find you everywhere.
Yeah.
That's all they need.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be easy to spot at WonderCon. I have a giant banner with a chicken on it, so.
Hard to miss.
Like you do.
Yes, like you do. Space chicken with a gun.
So, it's so good.
We're just killing him. We're doing it.
It's great. I love it.
So, it's just a pause for dramatic tension. With a gun.
With a gun. Which he actually, you don't see that gun anywhere in issue one. It will be making an appearance, but.
So the chicken didn't shoot first is what everyone.
Yes.
That is the truth. He doesn't shoot anybody. He's too busy running because everyone in the galaxy wants to eat him.
So he needs a gun.
He needs a gun. Because basically it's like, oh, a chicken is considered the tastiest snack in all of the galaxy. That's why Earth was brought into the Galactic Federation much sooner.
It's because of the chicken.
Yeah, the chicken. And then they overfarmed. There's no chicken left. And he comes from a completely different area of the universe. And so he's here. And he's like, wait, where are my brethren? I knew we were going to be here. They're dead. And so are you if you don't run faster.
I love the idea. So what do you got going on?
Oh, I have my webcomic, Bounty Hunter Space Besties, which is exactly what it sounds like.
It's a very descriptive title.
I believe this, that you mentioned this to us last time, too.
Yes, it's still going.
It made me giggle last time, too. Both of them.
So instead of 20 pages in, we're a little over 60, I think. And so the story has unfolded a lot more since the last time we talked. It's, for those of you at home, it's about two bounty hunters who are best friends in space. They just got transferred to a new part of the galaxy, and they want to prove themselves. And, of course, their first mission, they're assigned to be with these two assholes who are like, ignore the rules. We've got this. And they're just really, like, loud and obnoxious. And so they have a habit of ignoring doing their job for the sake of doing the right thing. So a lot of the time they will bring in bad people but not bring in bounties. And so they get transferred to a new sector of the galaxy, and their very first assignment is a shapeshifter, which is really impressive. And then they catch him, and then they very quickly realize that he didn't do it, and then they help him escape. And so I think, like, the big, like, turning point of the story when it gets really good is they sit him down like, okay, we didn't want to do this, we just wanted money, but apparently you're not a bad person, so what the fuck happened to me? We can help you. I just go. And so they have to, like, break into a tower and find evidence that he's not guilty.
So basically they're very good at their actual jobs.
They are, but they have a terrible reputation because, A, they were drunk when they filled out the paperwork, so their technical name is the Bounty Hunter Space Besties, and they also tend to bring in different people than what they were asked to do.
Now, I may have pitched this the last time, and if I did, I apologize because I'm just terrible.
It's been a year.
I'm not terribly original. Any possibility of a crossover with a space chicken? Where they're tasked with bringing in the space chicken, but they
don't think that you did pitch that, actually.
Yeah, that doesn't sound familiar at all.
Yes.
That would be funny if we both, like, worked within the same universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my universe could have bounty hunters.
It wouldn't even have to be, like, a full crossover episode. Like, you could just have, like, page where they just
the wanted poster in the background.
They're just like, or they're like crossing paths, and it's just like that awkward, like,
there's a bounty for this chicken.
They're waiting for the chicken to cross some interspace highway or something.
I did make a chicken crossing the road joke on the third page of my comic. We had to get that out.
That's fine. That's I think just, you know, expected.
I think I could easily add some Bounty Hunter Space Besties something like up on, like, there's a poster in the wall or there's a TV program where they're being featured for being terrible at their reputation as being terrible or whatever, so on and so forth, because I promote my own comics within my own comics.
Yeah.
In Corgi number 3, there is a poster for Collect on the back alley wall. So.
Strong.
Thanks. Yeah, and I feel like I could have them, like, turn on the TV and see the news about, like, what's a fucking chicken doing back on Earth? Those are gone. We got rid of those.
They've been gone for, like, 12 years.
Good job, Mike.
Oh. Start your own, you know, universe, like, so you can start making movies like Marvel.
Every Ladybug space comic all exists in the same universe somehow.
I love it. any other projects?
I recently picked up penciling work on an indie project, which has been really exciting. It's really great because it's a sci-fi fantasy story, which I love. And the writer has this amazing quirk where he pays me for my work and gives me full creative power.
What?
And that's just this, it's such a good, like, combo. Like, I was always expecting one or the other in comic jobs, but this has been fantastic. I really enjoy it.
You should wait till you hit the big time, though, and you can work for exposure, because that is
that's
so,
a dream.
It's so
dream.
Fulfilling. It
if
is
I
so
wanted
fulfilling.
To expose
I can
myself,
promise you 20 likes could. Right now.
That's a dream we're all shooting for in the end, is exposure.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's the full spiel. It's just like a thing that I'm really excited about. I can't talk too much about it because of NDAs, and we're going to be shopping around with publishers, but it's a cool project. I'm into it.
Anything that you are both reading currently? Any comics that you guys...
Ooh, I'm actually reading some of the stuff that Christine had recommended to me last time. The two of us hung out. I had just finished reading Rat Queens.
Yes.
Nice.
Which was delightful.
Volumes 1 and 2. Those are the only volumes that exist. There's only 1 and 2.
Is there more and it's just terrible?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I think they're about to have another Rat Queens Volume 1 come out. Because after the volume that shall not be named, they took
the
a hiatus.
Godfather 3 of...
And then coming back, and the writer seems really into it. I haven't read it yet, because I don't want to get hurt again.
It's too soon.
It's too soon.
No, I really enjoyed it. The art is hilarious. The story's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I just really like the idea of these, basically, like, badass women D&D group, but in real fantasy. Like, just the characters, not the actual players. Mm-hmm. So fun.
Yeah, I heard an interview with the writer where he said it was basically, what if we took college girls and put them in a fantasy setting and gave them a job where they just go out and they do like D&D things.
Yeah.
And then just hilarity ensues and everything spirals out of control.
That's a really good way to sum that up.
That sounds like what happens when we play D&D.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
definitely what happens when I play D&D, so.
You guys play D&D?
Oh my god, I've played D&D since I was 12. No, seriously, my first game of D&D ever, I was 12 years old, I went to my local comic book store in Kennesaw, Georgia, and all the other guys were like 40-something, and here comes this 12-year-old girl, and because they're playing in a public place, like the agreement with the comic book store was that you have to let anyone play who wants to play, and they were like, oh my god, it's a 12-year-old girl. We have to, like, we can't cuss anymore, we can't take all the sex out of the game. And I also had no idea how to play, which I'm sure was infinitely frustrating for them. So to whoever you are, guys, thank you, because I liked it enough that I kept playing. So
nice. What edition do you play?
Ooh, what was the last one I played? I think it was the third edition.
I'm trying to make D&D sound all sexy.
I know, God.
I play the sex edition.
Such an intimate conversation that you're having right now. I feel the need to look away.
You should. Your eyeballs will melt otherwise.
Do you and your husband D&D together?
He has never played D&D.
What?
But it's because he just hasn't had exposure to it. He comes from a different world than me.
Does
so.
He watch you D&D?
He needs to get exposed.
He's never seen D&D, but here's the thing. He's a huge storyteller. I have a feeling he would be super into it. You just got to find a group that we can do it with.
This guy right here.
No,
same situation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Never played. Finally convinced him to play. Ran him through a special holiday game that my girlfriend asked me to run.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, he was like, "I would like to do that again." Yeah. So
it was one of the last like vestiges of nerddom that I kept of my normal stereotypes of stigmas of what D&D should be. And every time someone would tell me about it, I honestly was like, "No, I don't want to play because I want to hold to my own false mindset of what it is." And I know that when I do, all of those will be shattered, and I know that I will love it. And sure enough. That's exactly what happened.
Man, think of all the years you've missed out on.
I know.
Because
no,
you were
absolutely.
Doubling
100%.
Down.
Yeah,
that's
100%.
Terrible. That's terrible.
I know.
So when you guys play D&D, do you play more hack and slash or is it more story character driven?
Well, I'm a raging thespian. So when I run games, I like to character it up.
Oh my God. Yes.
I don't have any other comparison as far as Dungeon Masters go, but. I do feel like Mike does a really good job in blending the story with the action, and you know we get to you know fuck around all the time. And
Mike's innkeepers are the best, and his mayor of Bloodmoon.
Yeah,
I want to experience this. This sounds amazing. It's been so long since I've played, actually. It makes me sad. I moved to California, and I'm like, I don't know people that play it. Help me. This is it, guys. I'm looking for group.
Where do you live?
I live in...
I mean, as vaguely
like,
as you can be.
Like, you know, yeah, right. I'm going to give you my street address.
Street address, zip code.
You know, like the, the Culver City area is the general area. Yeah, it's not close to here. Mm-hmm. Nope. When I leave here, it's going to be like an hour drive at least to get home.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. I have been having a great time, so.
Awesome.
Oh, good.
Well, then I'm not going to extend an invitation to play D&D because that's just too far to drive.
Maybe if I came out for a one shot or just like a one time.
It's like a full day episode. Marathon of role playing.
I could one shot all over a group. You don't even know.
Well, we do have a mute healer.
We do.
That, you know, is still in play. So she could just take over that character
the character is not fundamentally, you know, existentially physically mute.
Yeah.
I just don't feel the need to be talking as that character because I'm every other character, so.
Oh, and I was about to say, it'd be real hard for me to be quiet for that long, so that won't work.
But no, I mean, we do have like an active healer that nobody has actually claimed. They're just like a part of our group. Okay. And
yeah,
so.
I made the mistake of letting the group just like, hey, whatever you want to play, and nobody was, fuck healers, man. Yeah. So, and I was like, you guys, you can't not have a healer like that. Yeah. You will die.
Yeah.
You will die
no,
hard.
You will.
So if we do extend the invite, there's already a character that you could just take over and
then, for the day.
Yeah, just for that day and then.
I'll tell you what, we'll, off air, we'll have a chat because we need to pop your husband's cherry.
Yes.
I hope he's listening right now.
D&D cherry.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, it's the best cherry I've ever had.
Oh my God.
I'm just gonna tell you, Mike, you're gonna need a critical role for that.
It was a memorable experience. You never forget your first, you know? You just don't.
Always.
Sorry we've killed the last 5 minutes on that topic. Anyway.
Well.
So, we're almost out of time. So let's get back to where can people find information, for both of you and also for the ladybugs.
Okay, so I've recently become an adult, and instead of having a different weird pun about the word chip on every social media account, I am now just Chipolita across the board. That's Hippolyta, so it's the beauty of a Greek goddess, with the letter C at the beginning, which makes it into like my first initial last name, Olita, basically.
Strong.
So that's on Twitter,
Tumblr.
Spelled
with a Y.
Huh? Oh yeah, Chipolyta. And so if you do a Google search for Hippolyta, fun fact, the DC character shows up before the Greek goddess. Fun.
Because of course it does.
Of course it does. So that's Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram. I think I have a Facebook page for Bounty Hunter Space Besties. You can find Bounty Hunter Space Besties at bountyhunterspacebesties.com on Tapastic and on Webtoons. You can find the Ladybugs, at the Los Angeles Women Comic Creator League on Facebook. I think it's facebook.com/ladybugcomics, and then ladybugcomics for Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram.
Ladybugcomics.org.
Ladybugcomics.org. And then, I think at, I don't know if we have information about the release part for the anthology on our website, but on all of our other social media, there should be mention of this sweet, sweet book.
Sweet!
And the release party we're gonna have
there
for
it. There
you
go, he was saving it for a special occasion. There you go.
I was.
And a recap, I'm Joey Art on most social media, except for Instagram. I'm Hey Joey Comics, because someone already taken Joey Art. Some other girl named Joey, who spells it the way I do, and also draws.
She's probably French.
Probably meant like Joy Art.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that was already also taken, but it's a shame. Whatever. Yeah, and then HeyJoeyComics.com. And my name is spelled Joie, since you guys are not able to see my name tag or anything, so.
Well, thank you both very much for coming back in. It was a lot of fun having you guys last time and this time again. Very excited about this book. It looks amazing. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. I have a blast every time I come out here. It makes it worth the drive all the way out to wherever we are currently.
Middle of nowhere.
Hey, but the parking's great. So
I don't have to fight
anybody
Ample
for parking.
It's great.
Yeah.
You have anything coming up?
We should have a new Good Cop, Cop strip coming out, this coming Saturday. We got a little bit of a delay with, the cons, but, I know, we should have a new one out. And then in 2 weeks on March 11th, I just want to promote this. I get to do my first ever cosplay comedy show, where I actually get to dress up and then, do stand up. So it's like two of my favorite things put together in one show.
What character are you cosplaying?
Ridley LaForge. Or Riddler LaForge, I'm sorry. It's a, I don't know why I said Riddler.
Jordy LaRiddler?
No, Jordy LaRiddler. Whatever you want to do.
Whatever combination.
It's a mashup, however you want to call it. But yeah, his girlfriend actually designed it. So I'll be, dressed as that and then telling jokes. That is in, I want to say it's in Ventura City, but, just message me for the info.
All right. And this week, a new weird science inspired, Dark Crusader comic strip comes out. So, and then I completely forgot to write more strips, so I need to get on that right away. Yeah, no, I was paying the artist, and then I was like, I only have one strip for you. Here you go. So get on that. But you can find that as well as this amazing show in podcast form on our website, jackofallnerdshow.com. This has been the Jack of All Nerds. We will talk at you later.
Basement bringing Funyuns and the Mountain Dew. I got a big broadsword made out of cardboard, and that stereo's a...